Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sully here. Republican State Senator Paul Formica joins us. He is co-chair of the Appropriations Committee in the General Assembly, at least for now. And Paul commenting on a piece written by Peter Joyer from the CBIA and a sentiment being held by a lot of folks that, you know, is the state approaching the tipping point when it comes to what people will do if they're overtaxed? Will they stay? Will they leave? Paul, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Yes. How are you, Paul?
Merry Christmas and happy personal holidays to everybody.
Happy personal holidays. Paul, are you getting ready for the higher gas tax and the tolls? Boy, what a Christmas present that is.
Oh, my God. Hold on to your seats, because here we go. And, you know, I remember the days when tolls were first talked about as a way to eliminate the gas tax.
Yeah, remember that?
And now all of a sudden we're looking at an increase in not only taxing trucks, but taxing cars. And this is something that we've said on our side of the aisle all along. Our Senator Visano has talked to the Lamont incoming administration about this. We got some of it in the budget last year about a new way to do it, where we could divert discretionary bonding fund that exists in the budget and apply that to fix our roads and bridges, and we wouldn't need taxes and tolls. And, you know, now all of a sudden we're looking at expanding that opportunity. So,
Senator, do you believe, I mean, now I have listened, and I'm sure you have, with some of the statements of the new governor, and he doesn't sound like he wants to jump into all of this like some of the Democrats. That's all they want to do is tax, tax, and tax again. Yeah. What do you think about this? Is there an opportunity here?
Well, listen, he's convening a lot of people with a lot of different thoughts to come together and to try to help him establish policy moving forward for his new administration, because he knows he's in a big hole and he needs a lot of help to climb out. So I applaud him for convening all these transition groups. It's just the reports coming out seem to be more of the same, and they seem to be more of the same direction that we're heading in. And I hope, you know, that he's strong enough as a leader to say, listen, we've tried this. You know, it doesn't work. Raising taxes on the rich, you get more money one year, but the following year you end up getting less because people leave. So, you know, those are programs that don't work. Taxing and tolling are not, you know, the answers to this problem, and we need to move in a different direction.
Senator, it's tough now. Brad and I were talking about this as we before your segment here. You know, the numbers win, and now Connecticut is frankly become, at least after this cycle, Senator, very difficult for Republicans because of, as we see on the national level with the city and suburban divide, we kind of have that here in Connecticut now, don't we? It's kind of at a point now where it's almost a tipping point here for unfettered control by the big urban areas in the state.
Yeah, and it seems to be that, you know, that's what's happening. That's where the votes are coming in and push people over the top. And look, quite frankly, we need a better message. We got to get it across to the people that look what happened over the last 2 years when there was shared power. The bipartisan budget that came out with a spending cap, a bonding cap, the volatility cap, it was a bipartisan effort. Senator Fonfaro was a lead person in that, forcing us to save money, no tax on Social Security to keep our people here in Connecticut after they retire, job training programs to fill some of these manufacturing jobs that we have. That's an opportunity that comes with shared power, compromise, collaboration, and communication. And, you know, now that, you know, quite frankly, we've lost that opportunity, and I just hope we don't go all the way back. But I remember one of the things that impressed me most about Senator Fasano a few years ago as he led it, he said the strength of our state depends on the strength of our cities.
And, sure.
there's the misconception that the Republicans don't care about cities, but we want the same efficiencies in those cities that small towns are dealing with across the city.
Yeah, but the point is that they are smart enough to know who lives in the cities,
yeah.
And they get everything. They get it all, and they're going to vote for the Democrats. That's it, because you guys haven't sold them.
And we don't provide. And then the other fact is that there's more people representing the cities based on the population concentration. So, you know, there's a higher number of senators and representatives in there that do it. But, you know, that's not the problem. The problem is we need a message. We got to get it out there. And I thought we had it out there for the last election. And, you know, of course, we're disappointed in the numbers and what's going on. But, you know, we're going to have to stand up and remind people that, you know, these types of increasing government, as the, you know, on some of the regional transition team, you know, pointed out, of adding new deputy commissioners, and you know, that doesn't work. We got to cut agencies where we can. We had an opportunity to cut committees. We were waiting to assign people to committees this time, in the hopes that we would consolidate some of the 27 committees in the legislature, and that didn't happen. So I just hope that the governor-elect, is strong enough to stand up and say, listen, this is what we have to do, and I'm going to lead the way and do it.
State Senator Paul Formica joins us. Paul, one other question here on a couple of issues. What's your gut feeling? Where do we stand here on legalized sports betting? I know that's high on the agenda, the incoming governor, and also recreational marijuana, personal marijuana use. Where do you think we sit in the immediate future on those two issues?
Well, I think the recreational marijuana is all but passed at this point. They're looking for revenues, and I think, you know, that's a way that they're going to do it. States are surrounding us, are legalizing marijuana, but we have some legislative, language that has to be worked out with regard to, you know, how do we protect our public safety people for, you know, tests for impairment, and, you know, what do we do with those companies that say, you know, you can't smoke recreational marijuana and work here, and then you walk out at 5 o'clock and punch your time card, and then it's legal.
Yeah,
in order to go do it. So how do we legislate that? I'll tell you something.
All I have to do is get a couple of billboards. Welcome to Connecticut. You can get high.
Yeah. Senator, this might not be a bad thing, because if everybody is pained by the tolls, what they can do is light up a good joint, and then they can go to the sports book and throw $100 on the Yankees or the Red Sox, and they're in for a good night.
Yeah, well, you know, you may be right there. It could be the
answer, but
everybody will calm down a little bit.
Yeah, you guys up in committee, you could pass around a little and just, you know, break out the Doritos and you'll be all set, right?
somebody told me when Colorado first legalized it, the Girl Scouts put their cookie sale outside, and they had the highest grossing days that,
because of the munchies,
that they ever did. Unbelievable.
Unreal.
I think sports betting is probably going to happen.
Yeah. Big time.
It's just not a big revenue for the state. They're projected to be a $20 million revenue to the state, which in a $20 billion budget is, a bit of a rounding error. But, you know, it's one of those things that, again, Connecticut is different at, because we have the compact with the tribes. I believe we have to support those partners.
Yeah.
And that negotiation should be top on the list for Governor Lamont, of how we're going to move that, you know, forward and fold that into the gambling program that exists in Connecticut. Gambling is a piece.
Yeah.
It's not the answer. And, you know, I remember up here in southeastern Connecticut in the early 90s when Electric Boat was down around 6,000 people, and they were concerned about keeping that plant open. The casinos opened, and it helped drive the economy, because it employed almost 22,000 people at a time when it was down. And now you look, you know, we have 15,000 at the casinos, and 16,000 or so, about to be hired at EB. It's a diverse economy, and that's what Connecticut needs, diversity in economy and thought, and moving it forward, not just the same old tax, and so we can spend more.
Senator, thanks a million for being with us, and we'll call you again, Senator Vermeka, our special guest co-chair of the Appropriations Committee.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Happy holidays.
Well, thank you. Happy holidays, too. Appreciate you having us on.
Thank you, Paul. You appreciate it.